But if we are taking this humble position, if we pray for help, if we accept actually the support of God, then the wind of blessings comes, and then everything just becomes alive. Just everything becomes like easy to do. Everything becomes open, becomes relishable, becomes life. Life is coming into our practice. So, how will we get those blessings? I mentioned one point, the point of humility, of approaching great souls, of those who are able, those who are on a higher level that can give us those blessings. I will now speak of another point which is also very favorable for us to receive blessings, and this is by showing respect. So in one scripture called Chaitanya Shikshamrita from Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining the different graduation for offering respect. To whom should we offer more respect? So he said, first of all, we should offer respect to all living entities. But more than that, one should offer respect to human beings. And more than that, to those who are civilized human beings. And even more, to those who have position in this world. And more than that, those who are intellectuals. One should give even more respect to those who have cultivated good habits in life. And even more to those who are brahmana, sannyasi, and those who have actually devotion in their heart, devotion for God. That those to whom we should give actually the highest respect. But now, from the perspective of God, He sees every living entity equal. He sees every living entity as His part and parcel. And He sees every living entity as an opportunity for Him to exchange love. In the beginning, God is one. But when you are alone, how can you exchange love? When you are alone, how can you experience love? It's just not possible. So therefore, God expands Himself in the first expansion, Srimati Radharani, and then all the cowboy, all the gopis, and ultimately to all living entities. All of us are actually parts and parcels of Krishna. And our original constitution is to have this loving exchange with God, to be actually reconnected with God in an attitude of service. So from the perspective of God, He sees all living entities as this opportunity for exchange. He don't see this one is more elevated, this one is lower, this one is fat, or this one is not intelligent. He sees everyone as a pure entity. He do not see the external. Therefore, one should have highest respect to every living entity, because Krishna Himself, God Himself, has love for every living entity. So, therefore, we should actually develop this respect toward every living entity. There was once a discussion between Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati. And Parvati was asking him some question, some spiritual question. How will I attain the absolute truth? And Shiva said, it's not by serving God directly, but it's by serving the devotees of God. God Himself said, if someone says he is my devotee, he's actually not my devotee, he's a prisoner. But if someone said, I am the devotee of his devotee, of God's devotee, then he's a true person. He's a true spiritualist. And then Shiva said something very interesting. we have in our tradition some ceremonies. If we have a marriage ceremony or initiation ceremony, we have a fire yagya. A fire, and we throw some grains, some rice, some banana, as an offering to the fire. And the main offering we do to the fire is some ghee, some clarified butter. So Lord Shiva is saying, if someone serve the Supreme Lord, but offend his servant, and do not offer proper respect to his devotee, his offering to God is like offering ghee to ashes. That means the fire is extinguished. That means it do not have, this offering to God do not have much impact, it's not actually accepted. Because God has so much appreciation for all living entities that if we go and try to worship Him but neglect other living entities, God will not be satisfied with our offering. So the point is really that, of course, we want ultimately to be reunited with God. This is our ultimate goal. But we should never forget that this journey to God is mainly dependent on how we will interact with all living entities, with all people that are around us. That's a very, very important point. And that goes together, actually. Because as more as one worship God, as more as one become purified and get the intelligence of how to lovingly deal and respect every living entity, it's going together. But often, in the beginning especially, one think, okay, God is here, I serve God, and whatever happened to others, I don't care. And actually this is not pleasing. This, in that way, we are not able to receive the blessings. We are lost with our own endeavor, and our progress is very, very slow. Very, very slow. Only when those blessings are there, through offering proper respect to all living entities, our spiritual life, is getting strength. So we heard until now two ways of getting those blessings, humility and offering respect. I would like to give a third way, which is also, everything is very much interrelated, but it's service to the Vaishnava, offering service to the devotees. Because we have to understand how those blessings work. When one offers respect or offers service to a Vaishnava, in the heart of this Vaishnava, some waves will come. And those waves are those waves of mercy. The Vaishnava will think, oh, this person is so nice. He tried to serve me. He tried to help me in whatever I'm doing. Oh, I will pray to the Lord so that the blessings come into that person. So when a sadhu or an elevated saint feel pleased, immediately he will bless the person. The blessings will be given. So therefore, by taking the road of service to those Vaishnava, we will move their hearts and the flow of blessings will come in our way. Is that easy to serve Vaishnavas? Or is maybe not so easy? Often our ego is in between. Often we think, I'm so great, I'm so good, why should I serve anyone? To offer service, actually, that means to take ourselves out of the center. The function of the false ego is to put us in the center. I am the best. I know better. I am in the center. But in order to offer service, or even just to offer respect to others, one needs actually to remove oneself from the center of the picture. And that's not not always easy to do. But to some extent, we should be able to manage. To some extent, we should be able to offer service to others. Now, in which way will we express that service? How can we serve others? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm asking you questions that are quite obvious. But I want you to think. I want you also to be part, to engage your mental function into the topic I'm saying. We can serve others on the external level. Like, for example, we can help others who are doing service. Like, for example, in the temple, it's ample opportunities are given for service. And we see many devotees are engaged around serving prasadam or cleaning the temple. And we can just actually approach them and say, can I help? Can I do anything? And then we are engaged into serving those Vaishnavas. I remember once I was in Zagat temple, we had a Sunday feast, and usually I'm engaged to serve my spiritual master. And suddenly I came in the kitchen at 8:30 in the evening, and the kitchen was worse than the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It was piles of pots. It was really, really, nobody was there to clean the pots. And although I had quite some service still to do, I thought, okay, let me take 20 minutes. I give 20 minutes of my time to help in that particular kitchen. And I started to clean. And suddenly the temple president came. And look at me. You are cleaning the pots. Thank you so much. It was such a relief for him to see that I was helping. And I could feel he was so happy that his heart was moved, and I felt his blessings were coming from him, and I felt so happy, I felt so enlivened, I felt, wow, I can do a valuable service for this Vaishnava, wonderful. So this is a very practical way, very easy way one can render service to the devotees. See what they are doing and see how you can help them. I see sometimes devotees come to me and say, do you need some new socks? Or do you need a thermos for drinking hot water? Tell me what you need and I will provide for you. They are in that mood. They want to serve. And this is something that we can develop inside of our heart. Just think of a person you would like to serve. And just think what that person needs. And then you will get answer into your heart of how you can serve that person. When Krishna was in this world, he was once in Mathura. And actually, I have to give you a little more information so that you get the idea. The 14 first years of Krishna, Krishna was staying in the village of Vrindavan, which is actually a very beautiful place. God is almighty. Huh? He's the person who has all power, all shaktis. He's the person who knows everything, past, present, future. But in order to experience more love, he decided to hide those opulences. Like the king. When the king is ruling, he has his crown, he has to be very serious, and he has to order what has to be done. But when the king comes in his own quarters, with his wife and his children, he take away the crown, and then he come down on his knees and hands, and he ask his boy, his child, please come on my shoulder, and then he's running all around the house, and the child say, go here, go there, and the king himself become submissive to the child, just for experiencing love, just for exchanging love. And in the same way, God himself, who is almighty, decide to go to a small village called Vrindavan to experience the highest love with his devotees. So Krishna was staying for 14 years, the 14 first years of his life in Vrindavan, and then he went in Mathura. So when he was in Vrindavan, he would often receive garland of forest flower. He would play on his flute and he would go in the forest with the calf and his friends. But when he went to Mathura, he did not have a flower garland. And he was thinking, oh, that's missing. I would like so much to have a flower garland. So he saw there was a shop where there were flower garland, and there was Sudama, one very nice devotee. And Krishna went to him, and when Sudama saw Krishna, he just welcomed him in his house and offered him a seat. He washed his feet. The whole family came and gave him a feast, a big meal. And he was so blessed to have the presence of Krishna in his house. It's difficult for us to imagine, but Krishna is the source of all love, the source of all beauty. And for anyone who will see Krishna, they will be just overwhelmed. They will just lose their mind by the beauty of Krishna. And when Sudama had offered all of that to Krishna, he was thinking, I need to do something more. I need to do something more for my Lord. What can I do? How can I serve him? And just because he had this inquiry inside of him, how can I serve? How can I please? The Lord gave him the answer in his heart. Actually, Sudama, his work was to make flower garland. And suddenly he realized, yeah, my God, I have to make a flower garland for my Lord. And he made the most beautiful flower garland with the best fragrant flower he had in his shop, and then offered that to Krishna. So Sudama had the desire, how can I serve? How can I please? And then the Lord gave him the inspiration. So in the same way, if you want to take that path of getting blessings and entering his service to the devotees, try to think, which devotee I feel close to? Huh? They are. Or which saintly people? It doesn't need to be just in the Hare Krishna movement. It can be every person who are actually more elevated, who are actually having a spiritual practice. And then you just think, how can I serve them? How can I please them? And then you will receive those blessings that will actually allow you to go much faster in your spiritual journey. So that was actually a little bit how to serve on the external level. Now we can do so much service into an internal level. Just a smile, just attention to a person is such a service. Just to listen to a person and to deeply try to connect with the person and really try to feel, how is that person? Is that person happy in his life? Is that person need something? This is such a great service we can do. And the highest service we can give is to actually inspire others on their spiritual journey, to inspire others to grow, to inspire others to make new steps toward freedom, new steps toward love. This is actually the best service one can do for others. Another service, we can help protect each other. When we are on the spiritual journey, when we start the spiritual journey, we understand there are things in life that will be favorable for me in my spiritual life, and there are things that will not be favorable, that will actually not allow me to progress. For example, to be vegetarian, which is a very, very basic principle of spiritual life. There are many small principles that if we follow them, we can actually progress better in our spiritual life. And one service we can do is to see when others have difficulties in their spiritual life, that we actually provide support, that we actually help them by advising them. And now I would like to tell you a story, because so many information are coming all around, I will try to relax the atmosphere with little stories. If you look on the altar, and you look the left part of the altar, there are two personalities. Lord Chaitanya on the right and Lord Nityananda on the left. So this story is about Lord Chaitanya, which is on the right side. When he was in this earth 500 years ago, he decided to make a tour in South India. And he had one servant with him. I think it was Kaliya Krishna, I think was his name. So they were traveling together, and Kaliya Krishna was taking care of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was taking care that he will have all the nourishment he will need, that he will have a place to stay. Lord Chaitanya was so much absorbed in love of God that he would often forget all external aspects of life. So he needed to have a servant close to him to guide him so that everything will be alright. But one day, the servant, Kaliya Krishna, was attracted by a type of mystics in India who would use very beautiful women to grasp the attention of men and make new members. So somehow, Kaliya Krishna became attracted by those women and let Chaitanya Mahaprabhu aside and went to join them. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could have found a servant just here or just there very easily. But he decided, no, I will go myself. I will go myself to rescue my devotee. I want to protect my devotee. So he went there and just spoke to those people and he said, please, I'm sorry, that's my servant. You do spiritual practice, I do spiritual practice, please just give me back my servant. But they just became so angry. And they took weapon and they decided they wanted to kill Mahaprabhu. But suddenly the weapons just turned back to them. And the knives and they just started to cut their body on their own, that they all ran away scared of what was actually happening, and Kaliya Krishna was freed and went back in service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished his tour in South India, he went back to Bengal from where he started his journey. And then he said to Kaliya Krishna, now you go. Now your service is done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted also to show him that it was not good that he had left him just like this, just a beautiful woman. So he was very respectful, but he said, now the service is done. And Kaliya Krishna had developed such intense love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was broken heart. How can I leave the service of my Lord? What will I do? He was helpless. What will I do? And when the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengal, they saw, actually I'm sorry, it was in Jagannath Puri, not in Bengal. When they saw how Kaliya Krishna was broken hearted, they thought, we have to help him. We have to find him a service. We need to engage him in some service. We have to relieve his pain in the heart. And then they realized all the family members and all the friends of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are staying in Bengal. And they are so much in separation from Mahaprabhu. We will send Kaliya Krishna to Bengal. And he will speak about all what happened in South India with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to all his family members and all his friends. And therefore, he will be all the time engaged in remembering the Lord. And he will be actually very happy in that service. So here we have two points in that story. One point is how the Lord himself went to protect his devotee when he was attracted by those tantrics. And the second is the compassionate aspects of the devotees. When they saw Kaliya Krishna with broken hearted, that he had lost his service to the Lord. They did not say, oh, what to do? He should not have left Mahaprabhu, that was not good. Now he deserved to be rejected. No, they immediately started to think, how can we help to save his spiritual life? He was in danger, his spiritual life was in danger because he had lost his service, which is the most important for spiritual life, our service to Krishna. So this is an example of how one can care, one can serve the devotee by actually providing protection for them, seeing when they are in difficulty and helping them. Often we see this tendency when we see someone in difficulty, we think, we reject the person. We think, oh, the person, he is not sincere. Therefore he is like this. I don't like to be with him. But we should be compassionate. We should understand this person is weak. This person is weak. I need to provide help for that person. Another story. Still with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was here in this world, he never told anyone that he was God. He was always hiding his identity. He was always saying, I am just the servant of God. But all his associates understood who he was, and they wanted to glorify him as God. But Mahaprabhu will chastise them. He will say, no, I'm not God. Don't chant my name. You have to chant Krishna's name, not my name. But one day, Lord Chaitanya went and sat on the altar. And all the devotees looked at him. Why now? And Mahaprabhu said, now you can worship me as God. Today I give you that opportunity. And everyone was in ecstasy. Everyone understood, finally we can worship him as God. They made a long line toward the Ganges to bring Ganga water and to give him a bath, an abhishek. Everyone started to cook thousands of preparations. They offered him incense, and they made really a big offering. They were chanting, they were all in deep ecstasy. And then at the end of that ceremony, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, invited all the devotees to come in front of him, and he told them what is their eternal spiritual form, what is their form in the spiritual world. And that's the most intimate secret, to know what is our form in the spiritual world. So the devotees were like this, going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and would get the highest revelation. But one devotee was out. His name was Mukunda Datta. And this devotee was not allowed to come in. And the devotees were coming to Mahaprabhu and said, Mukunda Datta is there, please let him come in. Mukunda Datta was crooked. When Mukunda Datta was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was saying, Bhakti is the highest. But then he will go with other people and will say, God has no form, God has no name. He will actually be in two sides. When he will be in one side, he will glorify that side, he will criticize the other side. So therefore Mahaprabhu said, he's not allowed to come. Now the devotees, try to imagine, the devotees will get the highest revelation of who they were. But the devotees will go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will say, please let Mukunda come in. They will say, we cannot be happy unless Mukunda is out. As long as Mukunda is out, please let him come in. And again, try to imagine, you are getting the highest spiritual revelation. Would you mind for somebody else who do not get it? You will also feel, this Mukunda, he is crooked, he do not deserve to receive that. But the Vaishnavas, they were thinking, no, we cannot be happy, although we are getting the highest. We want Mukunda Datta to also get that. So they were going to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please allow Mukunda Datta to come, please. But Mahaprabhu was very strict. And he said no. So the devotee asked him, when will you again allow Mukunda Datta to have contact with you? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, in 10,000 lifetimes. So So the devotees went to Mukunda and said, "We are sorry, the Lord do not allow you to come, but you will see him in 10,000 lifetimes." When Mukundadatta heard that, started to jump and dance and cry and scream out of happiness, 10,000 lifetimes, 10,000 lifetimes, I will see my Lord, I will see my Lord. He knew I will be able to see my Lord in the future. He became so happy. Now try to imagine if you will hear that you will see the Lord in 10,000 lifetimes. Would you feel bliss like Mukundadatta? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the ecstasy of Mukundadatta outside, he said, "Bring him now." So the devotee went to Mukundadatta and said, "Come now, come now." But Mukundadatta was in such ecstasy, he was 10,000 lifetimes, 10,000 lifetimes. And the devotee said, "Come now, come now, the Lord wants to see you." But he just could not hear them. He was 10,000 lifetimes. So the devotee had to bring him by force to the Lord so that he could have the darshan. So here is again how the Vaishnavas are compassionate and how the Vaishnavas want truly the benefit of others. How Vaishnavas want to serve humankind. How Vaishnavas wants to serve everyone to make small steps towards eternal love, eternal happiness. I was hearing the lecture of Prabhupada. He was saying, for one who developed his relationship with God, with Krishna, one who is sincerely trying to develop that relationship, he's getting eternal happiness. That's from another level. We cannot get anywhere this type of love, this type of joy, of bliss inside of the heart. We cannot find anywhere else than in this relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, the Supreme Lover. So I would like to summarize a little bit this spiritual journey, the journey of the soul, the journey of everyone. Doesn't matter which path, doesn't matter how long it takes, but that's actually the journey of the soul, to be back reunited with the Supreme. And this journey can be made much more easy when one places himself to receive blessings. To receive blessings from God directly, to receive blessings from the sadhus, from the gurus, and from everyone who is more spiritually advanced than us. And when those blessings are there, our spiritual life will be very much more easy. Everything becomes very easy. That's a shortcut. That's definitely a great shortcut in our spiritual life. Now, how to position oneself to receive those blessings? Who remember what were the points?
Humility.
Humility. Very good. Yeah. Placing oneself lower so that one can receive the blessing. If one thinks one is so great, that one knows everything, the blessings cannot flow. Respect. High respect for every living entity, and especially for those, for the great souls, and service to all, again, to all humankind. And the best service is really to help everyone progress, to help everyone grow. It is said that more we become old, more we should become wise, isn't it? But sadly, often we see old people, they become not so young, easily angry, and that's not life. It's more that we become old, we become wise. That's our journey. That's the real journey of humankind. It's actually to develop our higher consciousness, to be able to be loving with heavenly entities, and that's the key for the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, every person, they are all acting in perfect collaboration to give pleasure to Krishna. And that's actually what we have to learn. In this material world, we have to learn to deal with every living entity with such love, with such collaboration, so that we can give pleasure to Krishna. And one come to that point, one can go to the spiritual world without making any disturbance there. But if one is envious, if one wants to do my way, or how I think is best, and do not want to collaborate with others, there is no chance to go to the spiritual world. That's not the place. So that's a chance we can learn here. So I don't want to speak too much. I think we have reached the time. Please try to take with you some of the points of this lecture. Try to think about it. Is that make sense to me or not? Will I try or not? Why? Or maybe I should ask some other person what do they think or how do they do themselves. But it's my personal experience. You can be in the position of receiving those blessings. Everything gets light. Everything become easy. Almost like... I had an interesting experience when I was in India. I would every morning pitch water in the well. So there was like a wheel and a string going down. I would pull on the string. But this wheel was rotten. And then I thought I don't use this wheel anymore, I just take it up, it's too difficult. But one morning, Dinabandhu Baba, the owner of the ashram, put in some oil on the wheel. And the next morning I came, it was going so deep. And at that time I was chanting, I was absorbing myself as deep as I could in spiritual practices. And this struck me, and I was thinking, wow, amazing. And I was thinking, what is the oil of my spiritual life? What will make my spiritual life go so much easier? What is that? I was thinking, and then I came to the point, when I receive blessings from the sadhus, when I receive blessings from the Krishna, from the Guru, then my spiritual life will flow like the wheel when the oil is there. So now I stop. I thank you very much. It was nice to see you. You were all giving your full attention to the topic. It was a pleasure for me to speak and to try to share this program. Now we will have a wonderful feast, vegetarian feast, and I hope that you will all be very satisfied, and that when you leave this evening back home, that you will feel your consciousness has raised into a higher level of consciousness. And I think we have also wonderful bhajans in the evening, from 7 o'clock to 9:30, and just an option, you can just be here on your own with the devotees and just chant the holy name, hear the spiritual sound vibration, and don't think of the week that will soon start. Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Gaura Hari Prabhu. Jai.